to newness of life, and you have that in believing He's the only way to God, the only way for eternity, you are a new creation. You are a child of God. Sounds like a trite Sunday school answer. It is the bottom line truth. That is the most important thing, but it's a thing we don't hear all that often. We don't, you know, we don't walk around the streets going, I'm a child of God. We don't drive down the street and see all these people on the freeway and think, I am a child of the King. But we need to be thinking that more often, especially when we walk into a situation where we feel less than. Not to put ourselves up on a pedestal or above someone, because we're not less than and we're not more than. We are all equal in His sight. We are all loved by Him, saved and unsaved, by the way, but we are children of the King because we know Him. It's a powerful thing. But what stops us from realizing that? I think it has to do with love. I think it has to do with receiving His love, understanding His love. I don't know how many of you watch TV or reality TV. I'm not a super TV fan. I think it's a waste of time. But if you watch any TV at all, I'm kind of a news junkie in the morning because I do a lot of talk radio, Christian talk radio shows. And so I want to know what's going on in the world. Well, you see all the advertisements for the reality shows, like The Bachelor, way back, the first Bachelor. I got a little intrigued watching the trailers for it. So I happened to catch the last one or two episodes. Well, first of all, I was somewhat disgusted because it was a bit on the edge for me. But this is the thing that got me. Toward the end of this Bachelor series, the Bachelor has eliminated down to five or six women. And each week at the end of the show, he would have, for example, five women, four roses. He'd pass out four roses. One didn't get a rose by. You're not chosen. Till he got down to two women who were very emotionally invested in a very false worldly way, but they thought they were in love with him. And so he had these two women who adored him. And he had one rose. And so one of these gals is going home. She's going to be rejected. And so he makes his choice and he says, I choose you and I reject you. Do you know what's so cool about God? He says, I choose you. And in essence, he has a rose for each of us. Now, guys, maybe you don't think a rose is a great thing to have, but, you know, it's just an expression of his love. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. He has a rose for every one of us. He has a rose and he chooses us. He doesn't reject any of us. And the power of that in our identity is to realize we are absolutely loved. And it's not about our behavior. And it's not about our roles. And it's not even about our serving him. We serve him out of love, hopefully. But we can do a lot of great things in the flesh that aren't really for him at all. He still loves us. And I think when we embrace that, it's a powerful liberation that then helps us do the right things for the right reason. Whether it's taking care of our body or ministry. Or loving someone who's kind of unlovable, because we know we're unlovable too. So what's